live from the Police Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a busy Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. NBA on TV reporter Jared Greenberg going to stop by 20 minutes from now. You got somewhat of a big game tonight between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks, so we'll get a little feel of everything happening in the NBA with Jared Greenberg. And then live from Indianapolis at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time, longtime Pittsburgh Steelers reporter, national NFL reporter for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Cabali is going to join us. We'll get the lay of the land on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and also we will take a look at what's happening from Indianapolis for the Combine. So a whole lot to do today. And we're going to start off with some football. And no, this is not just fulfilling the national quota to talk about the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, but you have all these executives and you have all these general managers and all these coaches that do speak from the NFL Combine. And right, if we played you like Joe Shane or Eric DaCosta or Andrew Berry or Andy Reid or Jason Light, it would be expected. But anytime we are starting out the show with an owner, well, it's because the drama Dallas choking Cowboys are owned by Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, and they are also part of the personnel department. Because, right, like you look at New England, Robert Kraft is the owner, and he may be involved in some football decisions, but he leaves that up to Elliott Wolff and Mike Vrabel. That's what typical organizations do. But the Dallas Cowboys are not like everybody else. They are truly one of one. So at least if you're talking about making steps in the right direction and you're improving and trying to be different, if you're Jerry Jones, at least Jerry Jones wasn't the one that gave the viral quote, baby steps. But his protege, his son, Stephen Jones, last year, right, we had Jerry Jones say the Cowboys are all in. And then you famously had Skip Bayless tweet out all in. Gotta pause, comma. And he's then went on to say, my ass. I also saw Skip Bayless the other day. He ditched the Dak Prescott jersey. For a guy that's made a lot of money, I always find it funny whenever Skip Bayless does this old, tired, played-out skit where he storms right into his kitchen, and it's a very small kitchen that he has. For a guy that makes millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, you would think he would have a wider and bigger kitchen. But he always opens up the trash can, and it's one of those step-on trash cans. You would think, right, Skip Bayless, right, would have a nice bougie trash can where he kind of be waving his hand over it. And he throws the Dak Prescott jersey in there. Well, the last time he did this bit, I guess, right, no longer with Fox, now his independent kind of podcast, I guess you could call it, he needs to be able to shine in a new way. So the way that Skip Bayless recently got clicks was putting on a Jalen Hurts jersey, and he hates the Eagles, and he was saying, fly, Eagles, fly. So anyway, we digress from Skip Bayless and from also Jerry Jones and from the all-in comments, and we know that Skip Bayless said all-in, pause, my ass. Well, Stephen Jones has a new offseason approach for the drama Dallas choking Cowboys as the entire NFL world is in Indianapolis. Well, besides Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, we'll get to that story coming up in the later with our pal Grant Cohn, who that is the gift that keeps on giving. But here is Stephen Jones laying out the drama Dallas choking Cowboys offseason approach.
We're going to look at everything we can. We're going to be selectively aggressive. We obviously, you know, there's things in this league you have to, you know, you have certain amount of resources they allow you to have, and you know, we'll look at that, but we're going to try to improve our football team. Not try, we're going to improve our football team, and we expect to have success next year.
So, 2024, the Dallas Cowboys. What was their slogan? All in. Survey says, the 2025 drama Dallas choking Cowboys will be selectively aggressive? Play that one more time, Stu, because it's kind of a tongue twister and it doesn't flow as well as all in. Give it to me one more time.
We're going to look at everything we can. We're going to be selectively aggressive. We obviously, you know, there's things in this league you have to, you know, you have certain amount of resources they allow you to have. And, you know, we'll look at that. But we're going to try to improve our football team. Not try. We're going to improve our football team. And we expect to have success next year.
So you kind of heard the truth of that answer. Even though last year we all laughed when the Cowboys told you they were going to be all in and you knew that that was a joke, the moment when free agency officially did begin and the new league year did begin and Dak Prescott didn't have a new contract. Because if you recall going back to last year, the Cowboys really needed to get that Dak deal done before free agency and the new league year did open so they could allocate those dollars around with this massive cap hit and you could actually put yourself in position to be all in. Except the Cowboys, drama, waited, and then the Sunday of week one, they wanted to take over all the headlines and write all the big talking shows that happened on Fox and CBS and eventually on NBC later that night, and they ended up saying, okay, we agreed to a new deal with Dak Prescott. So that wasn't smart. That wasn't actually being all in. But last year, you could at least appreciate the commitment to the bit by the Cowboys, even though they were lying right through their teeth, by saying, yeah, we're going to be all in. And everyone's like, yeah, I see what you're doing, Jerry Jones. This year, I think saying you're going to be selectively aggressive is actually worse. Because that comes off to me as very passive, as very ambiguous. And you have a way and you have an out because saying you're going to be selectively aggressive, we don't really know what the plan is. And when I hear Stephen Jones, he even caught himself in the messaging that he was trying to say when he goes, you know, we're going to try to improve. Oh, wait, no, actually, we are going to improve. Well, like, we are going to improve sounds more like all in. We're going to try to improve sounds like someone that will be selectively aggressive.
Selectively aggressive.
You know, it kind of goes back to when I first, you know, sought out to lose all this weight. And I could say to myself, yeah, I want to lose this weight. But then if I go into my home when no one's looking and I make a bunch of chicken nuggets, and then after I have chicken nuggets, I open up the tub of ice cream and I scoop out like 4 huge scoops of ice cream and then put whipped cream and M&Ms and sprinkles and chocolate chips. And don't forget those cookie dough bites. Are you really trying to lose weight? Yeah, I may be saying I'm trying to lose weight, but the actions don't reflect that. And that's what the Dallas Cowboys are. They're going to be selectively aggressive in trying to build their roster. They're trying to go win a Lombardi. They're trying to go improve their team. But are you really? Or are you like the fat guy that says, I'm going to lose weight, and when no one's looking, even though you went to the gym for about 15 minutes and you talked on your cell phone and you talked to the person next to you and then you maybe did a few pedals on the bike, the moment you got back to your apartment, you were like, French fries, chicken fingers. You know what? Oh, there's some old bologna in the fridge. Let's fry it up. You know, let's get some white bread. Let's put some Russian dressing on that. You know what? And then I need a little dessert. I'm getting a sweet tooth. So let's make the cookies, you know, throw maybe a little something special in those cookies. And then, oh, let's make an ice cream sandwich with cookies and something special in there. So I'll take out 2 scoops of Rocky Road. Like, what are you actually trying to do, folks? And that's where I think the Cowboys are stuck. They have already identified who they have paid and who they're going to pay. They already paid Dak Prescott. They already paid CeeDee Lamb. Last year, there were a ton of injuries, and it was only good enough for the Cowboys to win 7 games where, let's be real, with all the injuries that they suffered, it wasn't as if I looked at the drama Dallas choking Cowboys and I was embarrassed for them last year. You know, they've had a lot more embarrassing seasons, but when you just go to the playoffs 3 years in a row and you have 12 wins 3 years in a row, and then you regress all the way down to 7-10, it is something where people look at and you go, okay, that's a failure of a season. If you don't look at it with any context, But with the injuries that they suffered, them going 7-10, where I thought they were going to be midway through the year, wasn't the worst thing in the world. Now, don't get me wrong. We're still putting lipstick on a pig when I say that. The Cowboys still had a piggish year last year, but they were able to give some good efforts. They fought for McCarthy, who's no longer there, and they made a season that was, many of us thought, you know, was a disaster, and I told you they were going to miss the playoffs going back to the offseason into, okay, it was a decent effort. But when you pay Dak Prescott $60 million a year, CeeDee Lamb's a top five wide receiver, and you pay him his money, and let's be real, I have never felt more confident in saying a player's going to get paid by the Cowboys than Micah Parsons, because that's the player Jerry Jones loves. Talented, million-dollar smile, makes a ton of headlines, and every single year, right, double-digit sack guy. Like Jerry Jones is going to pay Micah Parsons and then some, because Micah Parsons not only gets how to play well on the field, but off the field, he's everything that is about what Jerry Jones wants from a drama Dallas choking Cowboy. So those are the three really big players of this franchise. Two are paid, one isn't, one will get paid. But outside of that, what do you really got? Like, Trayvon Diggs has been up and down in terms of being able to be on the field. He gets a lot of interceptions, but I wouldn't say he's this great football player. Zach Martin just retired. You know, at the running back position, you brought in Ezekiel Elliott last year, and that was old man Ezekiel Elliott. But the Cowboys do sit there with a good draft pick, right? Because of their record. They're sitting there, I think, with the 12th overall pick in the draft. So you could get someone that could go help your team. But the direction of the Cowboys, it's one where it's really directionless right now. And what I mean by that is they're 7-10. They haven't been to an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl since the 1995 season. You've already called your shot on paying your quarterback, paying your star wide receiver. You're going to pay your edge rusher, but the rest of the roster has a lot left to desire. And also, you brought in a coach in Brian Schottenheimer who's been there, but no other team in the NFL, and he's been around for a long time, would say, oh, I'm going to make Brian Schottenheimer my head coach. Like, maybe this was 2008, 2009, 2010. That'd be different, right? When Schottie was up for some head coaching jobs. But in the year of 2025, there's only one team, one, that would hire Brian Schottenheimer, and it's the Dallas Cowboys. So even though I just laid out this picture for you, and right, it's muddy, it's ugly, it doesn't seem to be all that positive, I do think the Cowboys, because they'll probably be healthier this year, and, right, they're going to be selectively aggressive, so they'll slightly improve the roster, but it's not as if they're going to go be making big move after big move. I do think the Cowboys will be slightly better. Like, if I look at the Cowboys this year and you say, Zach, give me a win range, I think it's as low as 7, repeating what they did last year, and probably as high as 10. But in, like, reality, I think they're going to be an 8, or a 9-win football team. And if you tell me they go 10-7 to make the postseason, I wouldn't be shocked. Because Dak is still a top 15 quarterback in the league. Micah Parsons, a top 5 pass rusher in the league. And now how he defines it, I don't know. But I'll define it how I want to define it. And CeeDee Lamb is a top 5 wide receiver in this league. Now, those are good starting pieces. The rest of the roster, the other 50 players, they need a lot of work. But you look at their schedule, Carolina, Chicago, the Giants, the Eagles, the Commanders, the Packers, Minnesota, Arizona, Kansas City, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Lions, the Raiders. Obviously, you double up with the division games, Giants, Eagles, and Commanders again, and they play the Jets. Like, can you find 8 or 9 wins there? And division games, right, even though the Commanders are in a better spot, even though the Eagles are in a better spot, they're, you know, the Eagles and Commanders aren't going to beat the Cowboys 4 times. It's just not going to happen. Like, the Cowboys, they should be able to take one from the Eagles. They should be able to take one from the Commanders. And you know what? You should probably beat the Giants twice. So even if I'm wrong on one of those, like, you're at least getting 3 wins in the division. And then after that, it's up to you to find 6 to 7 more wins on the roster, you know, on the schedule, to get you in that avenue of 9 or 10 wins, and that puts you in the playoff picture. And I do think the Cowboys could do that. But the Cowboys saying they're selectively aggressive is just not on brand for the way Jerry Jones runs his organization. And with that being said, I think it's very cautious. I think it's very vague. And I think you'll get the Cowboys be slightly better. But if you think that, hey, Zach, are they closer to the 7-win team from last year or the 12-win team that would always lose in the postseason that we've seen for 3 straight years up until this year, I would say they're probably closer to the 7-win team. But I don't think it will be actually 7 wins. I think you'll probably get 8 or 9 wins. And then, you know, you smack it right in the middle if it ends up getting to 10. You know, that's where I think that the Cowboys are kind of going to right now. And that's a spot where if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm saying, all right, what are we really doing? Like, the Eagles are clearly better. The Commanders are clearly better. And right now, the Cowboys are sitting there with a great young pass rusher, a great young wide receiver, a quarterback who is, what, top 12 in the NFL? You can make the case top 10, but you're paying him as if he's a top 5 quarterback in the league. He actually has the highest paid average annual value. And you have called your shots, but what is it heading towards? It's heading towards mediocrity. It's heading towards, I don't want to say being irrelevant because we always talk about the Cowboys, but in the landscape of actually winning, yeah, you're stuck in a terrible place because you're not as bad as being a top 5 pick and getting a franchise altering player, but you could still get someone that's good in the draft in your draft position, but you're nowhere close to actually going on a run and being a team that's surprising people and being in an NFC championship game. All righty, this is Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll do some second half NBA storylines. We come on back with Jared Greenberg, who does a great job. NBA on TNT, NBA on TV, NBA TV reporter as well. So we will get all that with Jared Greenberg when we come on back. And obviously, we will touch on the Luka showdown tonight up against his former team out in La La Land. Jared Greenberg joins us next. Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network. Alrighty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Yelp Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Got a lot of NBA tonight, but coming up on TNT at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, you get Luka Doncic going up against his old team, the Dallas Mavericks. Still bizarre to stay. That game happening, of course, in Los Angeles at Crypto.com Arena. Now joining us, NBA on TNT reporter. You could also catch him NBA TV, and that is our pal Jared Greenberg. Jared, always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. How you been?
Great, Zach. How are you, man?
Well, I've been fantastic. So it's been about a month since this Luka deal kind of came out of nowhere and surprised us all. I don't think I've ever been more stunned by a trade. And still, 20-something days later, even though I've seen Luka play games and play well for the Lakers, I still don't feel like it's real, Jared.
Does it stun you that Luka is no longer on the Mavs, or does it stun you that the return that the Mavs got back for Luka? What surprises you the most?
I would say it's the return or the lack of it. And also what I like to say was the ego of Nico Harrison, because I keep on trying to figure out why this happened. And I really do believe that there was some issue with Nico and Luka, and Nico didn't think that Luka fit that team well and he was out of shape and all that stuff. And to give him away is one thing, but to give him away for that little in return is another.
Well, I'll disagree with you from the standpoint of the return. I think we're making a big deal about this because we are enamored in society today with draft picks and cap space and the sense of hope. I got to be honest, you know, you could say what you want about Anthony Davis, and I am first in line to criticize Anthony Davis for a whole bunch of stuff, but you can't tell me that, you know, 5 first-round picks, you have no idea where those picks are going to land. You have no idea who's going to be in those draft classes as of now is better than a guy like Anthony Davis, who when on the court is a top 10 player in the NBA. So for me, you know, for these people who want to go out there and say, oh, he should have gotten 5 first-round picks, that would have been better. No, it wouldn't have. I can understand not wanting to trade Luka. I get that aspect of it. But I will also say this, a deal of that magnitude, a deal like we've never seen before, does not happen without ownership sign off. And I don't know anything more than has been reported, but I would say this, let's pump the brakes on Nico Harrison when we're talking about a deal of this magnitude, because there's gotta be, whether it's initiated or signed off on, ownership has something to do with a deal like this.
Fair enough. And if Cuban still had the majority share, I think Cuban would have prevented this from happening, right?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Yeah. So here's the other thing, just to respond about what you said, Jared Greenberg. I agree with you. Anthony Davis, and you said it when he's on the court, is a top 10 player in the league. That's where the disconnect is for me. I understand wanting Anthony Davis a part of this deal, but if a big reason why I think they got rid of Luka is they were concerned about his future, right? The weight issue, all right? Maybe some of the partying stuff that goes on. You know, what good is it to trade Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis, who I understand played a full season last year, but already in and out of the lineup for the Mavericks?
Yeah, it's convenient now because he's out of the lineup, and that obviously sucks and does not make the Mavericks look very good. But as you said, recent history has shown us Anthony Davis has played a whole lot of ball games. And with him, from a reputation standpoint, there's not this concern about him being in shape or being available. I think, you know, a lot of the issue with Luka is there's a guy here in Luka Doncic, and let this season play out. And I'm not predicting anything. I'm certainly not hoping for anything. But I think the thinking in Dallas is this is a guy with all the other stuff that you mentioned who has injured the same left calf 4 times in 4 years. That is not a coincidence. And I just think it all adds up, and there's probably a lot that we don't know yet, but let this season play out and let's see where it goes. And Dallas may be totally wrong. Like, the Lakers may go on and win a championship this year, right? They win a championship this year. This is the worst thing that's ever happened in Dallas sports. And there's been a lot of bad things that have happened in Dallas sports recently.
Yeah, we just opened up the show talking about the Cowboys. So Jared Greenberg here with us. So what do you think, right? You saw what they're capable of, Luka and LeBron going up against the Nuggets the other night, and that's one of the better teams in the league, a team that won a championship a few years ago with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Together, Luka and LeBron this year, do you think a championship is realistic?
I don't this year, only because I think, you know, forgetting momentarily about what happened last night to Oklahoma City, which was an anomaly, the Thunder are head and shoulders the best team in the Western Conference. They might be the best team in basketball. And I think that there are 6 other teams in the Western Conference that have a shot to get to the Western Conference Finals. That includes the Lakers. They are one of the 6. But there is a guarantee. There is a lock. If there's anything that I would bet my mortgage on, that I would bet my child's future on, it is that the Oklahoma City Thunder will be one of the 2 teams in the Western Conference Finals this year. And now we got 6 other teams with a whole bunch of parity that are fighting to be that second team.
When we also look at the rest of the West, I agree with you. I love OKC. I hope this is the year. And I think everyone looks at SGA and they say he's a top 5 player in the league. But then there's having moments in the postseason and going on a long run, and it takes you to a different level. I'm curious about a team like Memphis, right? We know all that happened with Ja a few years ago. Then he had the injury when he came back last year. Now they've kind of got back into form. They're 37-20. When you look at Memphis, is Memphis just a nice regular season story? Or can you see them being a big threat come postseason time?
Yeah, they're one of the 6 other teams that I would put in that category. I feel like all of these teams have massive flaws. None of them have been able to distinguish or separate themselves from the pack at this point, other than Oklahoma City. I think they're more of a nice regular season story. I don't see this, what they're using right now to win in the postseason. I also think that there's more star power on other teams that tend to tip the scales come playoffs. Denver has that. The Lakers certainly have that. The Warriors have that. And the team that I'm really intrigued by, which may not be ready to win at that level yet, but is the Houston Rockets. I think they're a team that potentially could tip the scales a little more than a team like Memphis.
You know, you brought up Golden State. It's funny. 3-4 weeks ago, if you would have said to me that Golden State could go on a run and get hot, I'd be like, yeah, I just don't see it. Now they get Jimmy Butler, and it seems like that group got to see the prize once again, and now they're a little bit extra motivated.
It's so crazy because if you just look at the numbers, Andrew Wiggins is having a better season than Jimmy Butler. And you say they play the same position. They're both 2-way guys. Andrew Wiggins is providing us more. Well, no, it goes beyond the numbers. You're right. There's a contagious nature of Jimmy Butler. It's rubbing off defensively. You're seeing, and even if it's just optics and even if it's just, you know, the honeymoon phase that they're in, guys are diving for loose balls a little more. There seems to be a little extra effort. And the other part of this here, which is massive, 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 the Warriors over the last couple of years have been among the worst free throw shooting teams in basketball. Not just percentage, but getting to the line. That's with the greatest free throw shooter in the history of the game on their team in Steph Curry. The rest of the team just, and Steph Curry doesn't get to the line that often. He's just really efficient. Now, all of a sudden, they're getting to the free throw line. They're being efficient at the line. So they're getting easier baskets, easier points. That was so hard to come by for this team. They were fighting, clawing, and scratching for baskets before this Jimmy Butler era, that now life has become a little bit easier, and you could see why they're winning these games.
Jared Greenberg here with us. Hey, get him back to the Lakers-Mavericks game tonight. I think it would have been totally different if it was in Dallas, and also if AD was playing. Like, the atmosphere tonight, I get it, right? It's a storyline. Luka going up against his old team. But, like, Lakers fans should be on cloud nine right now. They got a guy to go make another run with LeBron, and also they have what I think is life after LeBron. So I think there's a lot, right, to talk about. But when you get into the atmosphere of that building tonight, I'd be curious what it's going to be.
Yeah, I think tonight it'll be electric. It's always a sense of electricity in that building to begin with the stars and the star power on the court. But you're right, April 9th is the real date where hopefully Anthony Davis is healthy. Hopefully Luka Doncic is still healthy. April 9th, Lakers at Dallas. That's the game to circle, no question. Tonight will be fun. But I agree with you. Listen, and I'm, again, not trying to minimize what the Lakers potentially could do, because I think there is a path for them to get to the West Finals and potentially maybe stun the world and get to the NBA Finals. There is that path this year. But the bigger story, I think what Rob Pelinka needs to be commended on more than anything, is that this team was going to be in hell after LeBron James. They didn't have salary cap space. They've mortgaged all their future assets to try and build and crumble a roster around LeBron that just didn't make sense. And now you're right. Whether they do or do not win or compete for a championship this year or next year or for however long LeBron is there, they now have life after LeBron, which is a solid foundation that you can build around Luka for the next decade if he resigns. And now that's going to be a huge talking point this summer when he's contract extension eligible. And if he doesn't sign that, it's going to be a massive story leading into next year. But assuming Luka stays, assuming they get a deal done with Luka, the runway after LeBron is the biggest piece of this puzzle.
Yeah, and I'd be very surprised if they're not able to keep Luka. You know, how much do you think, like, let's say they get a deal done with Luka, how much does this extend the career of LeBron James? Because I was kind of thinking maybe this would be the final year, or next year at most would be the final year, but now I kind of don't even know how to handicap that.
Yeah, I would not even begin to try and guess on when LeBron is done. You know, what I think, remember when they got Russell Westbrook a couple of years ago? You know, what that the optics of that was, you were going to get a guy who's going to play really hard, is going to play every night, and try and prolong LeBron that particular season, right? So he could save gas in the tank and go full throttle come postseason. That never played out. That never worked because they weren't good enough. LeBron had to give it all in the regular season. I don't know if Luke is that type of player, particularly with all of his injuries and the roster construction currently. Can he take his foot off the gas pedal? We're going to find out here over the next few weeks to see at what level LeBron's able to give it a go once the postseason comes.
And the other part of this story too, because I know we focus so much on Anthony Davis and Luka, and now we just got the LeBron dynamic in, you know, the future of Kyrie Irving. And I know it's not easy to predict Kyrie Irving, but I'll be curious how he navigates it this offseason.
Yeah, there's no question. I think Dallas has a really nice roster, and they've got some really good things going for them. They're just in an unfortunate circumstance right now where they've got so many guys hurt. Like, their whole game plan was to be bigger than everybody and to be more athletic than everybody, and that's just not working right now because their top three big guys, Anthony Davis, Derek Lively, and Daniel Gafford, three sensational bigs, are all out for a period of time here.
I love Kenny Atkinson. He's done a sensational job. It was nice to see him get some national pop this week after just blowing out the Knicks. Are the Cavs just one of those great regular season stories, or can you see them representing the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals this year?
I mean, first of all, I thought the Cavs were going to be really good this year. I think I predicted them to be third or fourth in the Eastern Conference. I never in my wildest dreams thought they would be this good. What I have learned studying this game, the history, is that more times than not, you've got to suffer postseason defeat before you can advance. kind of like what Oklahoma City went through last year. They may have to go through it again this year. It may be a multi-year process for them. I find it hard to believe that Cleveland, if they get matched up in a postseason seven-game series with Boston, that they will have enough with the experience, with the talent, to get past the Celtics. I just think the Celtics are way too good right now. I understand in the regular season the Cavs have a better record. I just think, again, we're going to see Boston coming out of the Eastern Conference.
Let's say the Celtics get picked off. You know, who then would you say gets to the finals out of the East? Is it Milwaukee? Do the Knicks finally be able to beat a good team? Or would it be then the Cavs?
No, I would definitely go the Cavs second. I think the Knicks are a really good team. And if I'm a Knicks fan, I understand the frustration, 0-7 against the top three teams in the NBA. What's surprising me is I understood that the Knicks wouldn't be as good on the interior defensively because they didn't have Mitchell Robinson with the injury and Karl Anthony Towns is just not a good defender. But having guys like OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, and Josh Hart, those are three really good defensive pieces. Like, almost any team in basketball would want one, let alone three of those guys on their roster. I thought they'd be a little better. The defense certainly troubles me. If I'm a Knicks fan, though, listen, this team is begging for a championship. I get it. It's been decades upon decades upon decades of misery. I just think this is a building block process. The front office is going to evaluate where they are, hopefully make some moves. Now, they gave up a lot to get what they currently have, so they don't have a lot of wiggle room, but they're going to need to make some tweaks around the edges going into next year when I think they'll be able to start to compete for a championship. I think this year is a step in the right direction, great regular season, but it's going to be next year for the Knicks where I think they'll be a real contender.
Do you think Thibodeau is on the hot seat?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't think Thibs is as well, but I just see a lot of Knicks fans have been talking about that, obviously with the weekend and the last week that they just had. Last thing I'll ask you, Jared Greenberg, when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo and Nikola Jokic, right? Both have won multiple MVPs, both have won a finals MVP, both have won an NBA championship. You know, who do you think wins the next championship first? Would you go with Giannis with the Bucks, or would you go with Nikola Jokic with the Nuggets?
I would go Jokic. I think that they have a better roster. I think they have better younger players. And Jamal Murray, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention, he has come alive over the last month. He got off to an incredibly cold start to the season. In fact, he finished the season terribly last year, had a terrible Olympics with Team Canada, and then came into this year and just didn't look right at all. He has been sensational, and Aaron Gordon has been really good the last couple of weeks as well. Listen, Nikola Jokic is a special talent. If you're just a casual basketball fan or you're a hardcore basketball fan, please start being grateful for Nikola Jokic and watching what he can do. Like last night, the minimal amount of points that he scored and the impact he had on the game, 19 assists from a guy who's 6'10", right? Like, that's ridiculous what he can do to carve up a defense. However you want to try and stop him, he will pick the opposite way and beat you to a pulp.
He is Jared Greenberg. Does a great job, NBA on TNT. Catch him all throughout the season. Jared, appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Gelf.
There you go. Jared Greenberg right there on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. When we come on back, I thought this was like a fake news storyline, but it's not. Kirby Smart goes after Johnny Manziel a little bit. What year are we in? It's 2025. It's February 25th, and it's 3:39 p.m. Eastern time. So you know what the time it is for? A sports flash with the great Rich Ackerman. All righty, welcome back in. It is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Mark Caboli is going to join us coming up live from Indianapolis in 15 minutes from now from the NFL Combine. We'll do some Steelers, also go around the rest of the NFL with him. And the Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored first, though, by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And this week's player is St. John's guard Aaron Scott. In Sunday's 89-75 win over the UConn Huskies, the senior from Texas had two blocks along with three steals. St. John's as a team had 11 blocks and 11 steals in the game and held UConn to just 26% from behind the arc. Alrighty, let me get to this audio. So I've seen it. I have not heard it. So I want to see if the headlines that I've heard kind of matches what's actually being said, because I keep on seeing that Kirby Smart threw some shade towards the direction of Johnny Manziel, and now I'll be the judge of that. Here is the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. What's that coming down the track? It is Kirby Smart.
What do these guys have in common? Heisman, It's a good answer. That's actually true. They're definitely quarterbacks. That's the most elementary thing. Heisman, quarterbacks, champions. He ain't champion. Champion of what? Champion of fireball.
So I kind of give Kirby Smart a pass. Now, I'm not sure who he's comparing him to, but it seems like they're at some conference or some one of these coaches things, and they're comparing one player to another, and someone in the crowd, it sounded like someone in the crowd is like, when he's like, oh, what can you compare him, you know, compare him, all right, Heisman's, and then he goes, someone, it sounded like, said championships, and then Kirby Smart, just the initial reaction is like, championships? What is Johnny Manziel won? Championships of a fireball? Like, funny line. You're there for a crowd. I understand you're representing Georgia, right? And Georgia doesn't always do a good job representing Georgia. So does the apple fall that far from the tree? That I don't know with that football coach and Kirby Smart. But I kind of think that's a little tongue-in-cheek and more so fun. That's the way that I at least interpret it, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely fun. The four guys that he's putting up there, it's Cam Newton, Joe Burrow, Bryce Young, and Johnny Manziel. And he said, what do these four guys have in common?
There's a difference.
Heisman. They all have Heismans. And then they said championship, and then that's where the Manziel joke came in. The actual comparison was that all four of them had really big games against Kirby Smart defenses. That's what he was going for. And that's
so you know what that is? That's a little dig at Kirby Smart, and Kirby got a little defensive. You know what? They're going to try to knock me. I'm big, bad Kirby Smart. Look what I've done in my career. I'm then going to ding Johnny Manziel. That's how I cut. It's a little sensitive spot right there for Kirby Smart, if that's the way that you're telling me that this was actually portrayed. But anyway, whether the guy won a championship or not, just give me a player in your lifetime that you will always just remember in college football, and that he's someone that you'll never forget. Because, yes, Johnny Manziel didn't win a championship. With the way that he took over the sport, though, and the Manziel hype and all of that, and the rock star that was Johnny Manziel that ended up being his downfall because of the fact that he enjoyed partying too much and wasn't serious enough about football, that's someone that you don't need a championship, you know, in college, especially with how the system used to be, where it would just be two teams that play for a championship, or you had a four-team college football playoff. Now we'll see how that appears years from now, because there's more access to the college football playoff with 12 teams and inevitably 14 or 16. But Johnny Manziel has got to be, in the last 40 years, easily a top 10, top 5 player that you will remember just because of the storm that came with Johnny Manziel. But my player is Reggie Bush, because it really has everything that you want in a story. Is he an athletic freak? Yes. Did he do things on a football field that I've never seen? Yes. Was he a dynamic playmaker? Yes. Did he win a Heisman Trophy? Yes. Did he win a national championship? Yes. Did he play for a big brand? Yes. Did he play for a big coach? Yes. Did he have another fun piece in the backfield with the quarterback in Matt Leinart? Yes. And then also, you have a story that I kind of just scoff at and I can't stand, but you also have with Reggie Bush, the Heisman Trophy getting taken away, right? Him basically being blackballed for 15 years from the sport. Now he's accepted back in the sport. Now he has the Heisman Trophy back and all that stuff. There's pretty much every twist and turn that you could take in a college career happened with Reggie Bush. So he's a college football player that I'll never forget. How about you, Samter? Who's your college football player?
There, you know me. I can never come up with one that really just stands out, but there's a few that I was kind of deciding between, like Desmond Howard with the Heisman pose, right?
Still an iconic moment even to this day.
And that season, it was very rare that we saw the defensive player winning it, and you know, defense and special teams. He played a lot of offense. He was kind of like the Travis Hunter. That brings me to Travis Hunter is one of those guys who, you know, it feels like recency bias, but we've never seen that before, and we don't know if we'll ever see it again. But I think the guy I'm going to go with is Barry Sanders. I was very young. I was only 8 in 1988 when Barry Sanders was there at Oklahoma State. He ran for 2,600 yards, 37 touchdowns, and added another 2,700 yards receiving. It was just absolutely ridiculous what this guy did. He averaged 7.6 yards a carry, 37 touchdowns on the ground. It's just absolutely insane. It's like video game numbers.
All righty, Stu, who's yours?
Mine is Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that was the one that I felt like we couldn't leave off. I was between Tebow and Reggie Bush.
Me too. I think Bush and Tebow are my two. And for Tebow, obviously, he won the Heisman, had the two national championships, was always must-see TV. wasn't the most gifted of throwers, but he made up for on the ground and hitting people. And it was just such a great team, those Florida teams.
And that's the thing, too. When I think of Tim Tebow, the first word that comes to mind is heart. And if it's not heart, it's then passion. And also you have the cult-like following around Tim Tebow as well. But the heart and passion of Tim Tebow, I don't think I've ever seen a player in college, not the NFL, in college, want it more than Tim Tebow. Because to Stu's point, he wasn't the most gifted from an athletic standpoint. He didn't have the strongest arm. But that dude with the speeches and just the way that he would run through a brick wall was just obviously must-watch TV. And you had the mega brand of Florida with the Swamp and Urban Meyer, right? And, you know, you look back at those teams and how many guys got in trouble. And, like, there you have Tim Tebow, just the nice religious guy that's a quarterback. But then when you watch him on the football field, you would think, like, he's just an absolute savage. You know, because that's what Tim Tebow was on a football field. So good list right there. I end up rocking and rolling, going with Reggie Bush as a college football player. I'll never forget. Stu goes with Tim Tebow, and then Samter goes with Barry Sanders. All righty, it is the Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we go to Indianapolis, the site of St. Elmo's. I mean, the NFL Combine, as we will be joined by Mark Caboli, who's there covering it for the Pat McAfee Show. And also does some guest spots on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. So we'll chat it up with a longtime NFL reporter next. We'll give you the lay of the land from the NFL Combine.